Radio Krishna 101. And I think I already said something about the topic. I mean, we have this Swedish, not Swedish, but this documentary about ISKCON on Swedish television. And now, I mean, what I talk about here is not this religion, that religion, that group, that other group, but the psychology behind it, the way that groups can start to behave, and which is well studied and researched. And how they can turn into cults. Now I'm looking at another one because, I mean, people like to see these, right? How terrible these cults behave. And, ooh, I'm so happy I didn't get caught in that. Which, yes, you should be happy, because it's, well, here we are at 2312 in that video I'm looking at on SVT Play right now, where, what is it?
He needed, and would you not do what he told you to?
One lady is talking here, and how she was told in that moment is Jesus Christ, and wouldn't you like to learn from him then? And yes, of course. And if he wanted you to get married to someone, wouldn't you do what he said then? And then she said no. That was like the red line for her. But I saw in our Hare Krishna movement that happen all the time in the early years. I don't know about now. But you know, the guru is the representative of God, is so pure that God talks through him, and everything he says is perfect, absolute truth. So then if the guru or some leader appointed by the guru tells you to get married with him or her, then you better do that. Of course, you've got a free will, but, you know, this is about surrendering to God and using your free will the best way possible by surrendering your intelligence and everything to your guru. And yep, I came to that challenging moment in my life when I was basically told that by my guru, sitting on a Vyasasan, one of those high seats that gurus sat on, and I guess still sit on, saying that this is about surrendering your intelligence to Guru, Krishna, Super Soul in the heart, is then taking over. Well, that's how I understood it, but, and it kind of saved me. But the Guru is the representative of the Super Soul of God sitting in the heart and guiding us all, and from whom all intelligence comes. So it was like when you give up your own intelligence and let the intelligence of the Guru replace it, then far, I remember that statement, far better ideas than you ever had will enter your mind. And interestingly, the way I see it now, some probably took this in the cult way, because, well, you know, if I would replace my own intelligence with the intelligence of another guy 7 years older than me, and who just a decade or so earlier was just another of those wild kids in New York City, Greenwich Village, or whatever, hippies. Now, some did. Some actually, in the Krishna consciousness movement, they actually surrendered that way to that person, to those young guys. And I'd also say it's cruel in a way, because to be a young guy in your early 30s or even late 20s and be put in that position, I mean, and I saw it, it's hard to handle. Without tripping into the I'm special mind box. And yeah, some did, and one thing leads to another. And there you are. And what we found in that documentary. And I know, I mean, the PR departments of the ISKCON society, they are getting into action. How dare you publish such documentaries about us? We are the good ones. Well, that's true. And this one, there's much more to it. We could talk for hours and show an entire season of these episodes. Because this was going on all over the world, and especially the mistreatment of women, children, and the simple, ordinary, as we call it, devotees down on the floor who did the hidden work, cleaning and cutting the vegetables and repairing and digging in the dirt. In overalls, rather than sitting on high seats in saffron silk. Or driving around in new Audi cars. With a beautiful woman next to me. As temple president. You know, I saw all this and how we all came to this movement. You know, stepped through the door somewhere late in the 70s for us, somewhere in the early 70s. And going, wow, whew, gosh. This world is crazy. What have you got? Well, you know, for us who came then, at least myself, look at these books. They have a wonderful philosophy here. Gosh, this gives me answers to the questions. Pieces of the puzzle falling together here. And that's how it should be, right? Knowledge that you can use to make your life work out and live in a world that makes sense to you. And be with others. Or like that too. And if there's anyone I would like to be very good friend with, is such a person. So that's the good reality of it, that I and others with me experienced and still experience. Some of us dropped after that into this kind of cultish groupthink behavior. And while some now may want to cover up that and pretend it didn't happen or it was so long ago anyway, and they want to forbid such documentaries from being made. Yeah, of course, you know, they make money on, they have to make a good thriller out of it, so it's a genre which is has its own niche. These are just film and video producers doing their job, finding a good story. So, and here is a story, which is true, which happened. And I see it this way. We can learn, we should learn from it. It's good to put this up here in the open for everyone to see. Look what the Moonies did, look what this Osho did, look what the Hare Krishnas did. But then, go deeper beyond that and see, you know, yeah, another case of groupthink. Cult think, and another one. It's not about necessarily that leader being, or those leaders being evil, but it's a group psychology. And I mean, Freud wrote a whole book about this, which is a good one to read, actually, if you're interested in this topic. Because then you can see it's a group psychology thing that can happen in any group. But what's beyond, what's actually there, the good thing there? And it's interesting because if I do that, for instance, when I see this documentary about the Moonies, there is a philosophy, an understanding of life, making a kingdom of God on earth, that I completely agree with. And there are things that this Osho said that I also completely agree with. But then when they take that next step of, but our, this man who founded this, our great movement, which is will save the world, he's representing God on earth, and we make all the people of the world serving him as a king or her. And her. Then come the kingdom of God and peace and love forever. And yeah, so, I mean, again, group psychology, if you find yourself in that position, either you put yourself there, being a psychopath, narcissist, whatever, which is also common, and which well, I have also seen quite a few, or at least a few examples of, in my life in the cult. Yeah, I mean, we talk about it and we between ourselves, at least we of the old school, but I think the youngsters too, and here in Sweden, I can only speak for Sweden. I'm happy to see that, or I'm always happy to see when people think for themselves, by themselves, and not just think hard, but reflect and ultimately decide what to believe and not what not to believe, what to follow, what not to follow, what to do, what not to do. After consulting with their own inner conscience, God in the heart. And ourselves, myself. I have to really believe and think and be convinced that this is good. Otherwise, why should I do it? Why should I believe in it? And if you find that, which I think is a good way of dealing with it, that these people in this group, this local group here, because that's generally what it is, one group in this city, another in that city, or this entire organization, movement, among others, globally on the planet, if I find that the way they apply and practice and follow these teachings, for instance, here we have teachings in this Krishna consciousness movement, which, I mean, really go back into noble traditions in India, hundreds, if not thousands of years back, being a branch of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, one of the four main Vaishnava Sampradayas of India, Vaishnavis being the largest part of what we call Hindus today. I mean, we're talking a real solid foundation here. And that's what we should look at. So you find that, hey, there's something here that this movement, this group is here to give me, or this person, or this book, or whatever. How does that look to me? And then questions, answers, doubts, convictions, for real. Not that, well, you know, they gave me a flower on the street and the girl is beautiful and they love bombed me and then I was finding myself sleeping on a in my sleeping bag on the floor in a room with 20 others. Worshipping that divine person living in that nice apartment in the big house. So you see what I mean? That when you find that it's good, yeah, I can take this to my life and I will find that I'm happier now. Things make sense now. I mean, that's the feeling we all have, and had at least. Now, some lost it maybe, and that's unfortunate if it's because of the externalities. But that's what we should look at. And then if those people around us who sold the book to us or, you know, who gave the lecture, introducing it, or whatever. If they then practice and behave and follow and understand this the way you do, then great. New friends and we can really help each other and have a nice time together. That's what it's all about. And if you find that, no, they don't care about me, they just want me to do service, to work, collect money, whatever, then I mean, it's just so obvious. Everyone should wonder why I'm even mentioning it. Then we should, of course, if we find this is not for me, then go to some others. There are always different branches, a little friendship here and there, a congregation over there in some temple, or a study circle, or some project where friends are working together. You find your tribe. That's how it always was, really. I think these kind of monolithic religious institutions with power structures and someone up there ruling over all our souls, it's very much a Western thing. And disagree with me if you like. I mean, it's just the way I see it. That, or it appeared at a certain point in history of which, of course, is natural, of rulers, powerful military or whatever, rulers ruling over large masses of people in their country. And then you find these people sharing knowledge and understanding of life and the world that doesn't include you as being the ruler on top of everything and everyone. So then what can you do? Either kill them all or assimilate that, absorb that. Yes, we'll make a nice state church that you can go to, which is controlled by me, but anyway, forget about that. Controlled by this big spiritual person who you can all trust and who is now the master of your souls. It's a kind of mentality there. And all the while, I mean, I'm talking through history, you found those outside of that. And sometimes they were burned at the stake, or if you go to London, you should visit London Dungeons, which are the dungeons. I mean, the actual dungeons, they now turn into museum, where they were treating these miscreant sinners who did not accept the only true religion. And you will be shocked what innovative means they applied to inflict pain on such people who had the wrong faith or the wrong interpretation. So yes, learn from history. That's what we better do. And I remember sitting there in Govinda's here in Stockholm, where I spent 8 years as a preacher, giving lectures, if not every evening, so at least much of the time, because not many of us had time to give the lecture. Sitting there, talking to whoever dropped in, sometimes just one or two, sometimes 10 old, young people. Some or other. Stumbled in through that door from the restaurant, sat down and listened to the Bhagavad Gita being spoken by that young brahmachari. So I was then thinking, why am I here? Am I here to recruit members to a group, an organization, which later we started speaking of as an institution? Or am I here to give these people the beautiful gift of bhakti, this knowledge that Prabhupada has given in his books, and that we can make us all happy for real? Or am I recruiting members here that can then be used by the temple president . Maybe that's even why I'm here. New members to wash the pots, to cut the vegetables in the restaurant. And then if they are able to, and more qualified, to go out and collect, selling Hong Kong paintings, little ladies walking late at night, Friday, Saturday, even alone in suburb areas with a roll of paintings under their arm. Heavy roll, but collecting for Krishna. And then you will be happy, won't you? A little girl happily walking there. Through Stockholm suburbia. Friday night. Where the joyous singing and shouting from nicely inebriated Swedish guys echoed in the neighborhood. Yeah. So, you know, that's where it can get. So, I think that kind of also explains a bit of the dynamic that can cause these awkward situations that then, yeah, creates that kind of cultish group, strange bubble, living inside a bubble. Hardly seeing anything, what's going on outside of it. Seeing, living, believing, thinking, what bounces around within that bubble only. And ultimately being fed into it by the leader speaking, directing. But we should ultimately be directed by what's even the real thing in there. the knowledge. In this case, I mean, the case of ISKCON, that's what they should make another documentary about. That, yes, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he himself said, wrote, that, you know, this ISKCON may fall. And he kind of even implied that, yes, these kind of temples and altars and congregational meetings, they attract beginners. You know, like here in Brahmacon where I live, we've got families. Let's bring the kids, it's Sunday, let's bring them somewhere nice. Why don't we go to the Hare Krishna temple? They have kirtans, bhajans, it's good for our kids to stay acquainted with our cultural traditions. And that's a nice function and service that these temples serve. But he said, and I'm basically quoting, and I can find the quotes if you ask me to. That this may stay or go, but the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust must stay and will stay. So he set this up legally, strongly. And yes, I mean, after that, some of the predecessors, servants who work for this foundation, this trust, they had to make further legal adjustment to protect it, strengthen, secure it. These books, pictures in them. The copyright belonging to Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami as his trust, which is simply there to produce and distribute those books, his books, forever and ever. So, yeah. And why? Because when you really start to read those books, I mean, really, I'm surprised at how few actually read the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, what to speak of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, that's the first thing we did, was reading those books. And wow, some things are wild and you can't understand them at all. Some things make you go, wow. This is amazing. It goes deep, this. And the history behind this ISKCON Hare Krishna, Gaudiya Vaishnava tree, family. It's amazing. So there's a lot of beauty in the Indian culture, in other cultures as well. I mean, and that's what you get to, and that's what actually attracted me to this But it's universal. It's not about a religion from a certain country. It's about our eternal relationship with God and each other, which is loving and happy and, well, great adventure, we can see. And Prabhupada said, I didn't come to the West to spread Hinduism or religion. I came to make people happy, to help people reestablish their lost relationship with God. If you're Christian, be a good Christian. If you're Jew, Muslim, just be a good such. Love God. And love your fellow beings, whatever you say. So, I think it's more important now than ever. And it should be possible without being, you know, punished by some power people up there. So this was, well, not that long ago in Sweden, if you didn't confess as a believing Christian or submit to the rule of the church, that you were prosecuted in some way. That today, I don't think there are many who have power over us in that way. The big religions, well, some places still have. And the cults. Well, you know, after a while people learn and they see and they think for themselves and they just step out of them. And they shrink. So, I mean, truth prevails and it's ultimately benign, but I think we should rather than learn two things from it. One thing is, yes, but I maintain the responsibility of my life. And yes, I put my life, my intelligence, my mind, my thinking, my work, you know, all that which depend on it, in the hands of God. God is in God. Here, please, I'm just trying to do something for you here. And live my life the way I am. Become myself again and live the way you want me to live. Which we soon learn includes living the way we want to live, but doing it the nice way. Because that's what existence is about. So, yeah, that kind of path, that's the way it goes. And we all live like that with our own integrity, sovereignty, just same things with nations on the planet today. We actually see that going on. Independent, smaller nations in Asia and Africa and some big ones as well, in South America and all over the place who say like that. We don't want to make trouble with anyone. We just want to have our sovereignty respected. we should not slave under some master just because some tell us to. When we find someone or some people that we can truly respect, who are qualified to manage the societies we are in or whatever, or at least leave us in peace and don't just demand ownership or control over us, then we're fine. And if such a leader does good things that we benefit from, we're grateful. And we would do things back. We will pay taxes, we will help out with this or that. That's how it works. And this is something I think that the psychopaths can't understand. That people, us ordinary people, that most of us are, and I'm talking to you psychopaths now, so you understand that. Because we others, I think we all understand it really, unless we became too influenced by some of you. That, you know, if I do something good for you, then you will want to do something good for me. Or at least I leave you in peace. And if I treat my family or my people wrong and you think so, well, first show by your own good example. And maybe wait a little with pointing fingers. You shouldn't throw rocks in a glass house, as we say. But yes, share your thoughts. Let's discuss. We can all learn. Maybe there are other ways I can do this thing. You know, friends in between. Not judges or a police coming down on us. Ultimately, for maybe dubious reasons, not to help us with security or whatever, but keep us in the flock. So yeah, I mean, we see this, I shouldn't call it dynamics, but in all spheres of life, basically, in the global situation of the world today, and the cults, and our neighborhoods, among us and our friends. Again, it's a group thing. There's group psychology. And I would say the whole world is about a group and group psychology. So, it's about us learning to function together, this group of us in this world. And when we have learned that, and we have won the game, this big virtual reality VR game that we are in, I think you could say something like that.